right at you, mother. Why would you speak to him in this way?
It ain't you, baby.
You feel safe under that one wire.
he's not even staring at me. He's watching, like, my string.
All right, so welcome back to Pint-Sized Art History. We've made it to a year. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
From the old women that we are. You just made a face like that doesn't suit us.
Call yourself old.
Look, bitch. I'm not the one crocheting right now. I don't know shit, and we start there. But what I do know...
Welcome to Pint-Sized Art History.
What I do know, it's been 1 year since I started the podcast.
Merry New Year.
Happy crisis. And
we've had those.
Oh, sure have. And honestly, we've had way more episodes in the past month and a half. Well, not in the month and a half, but in the last 3 months. Because Squid is now doing the editing. And we've got a regular type recording situation. And we're making it! We're doing it! I'm proud of us.
Whoop whoop!
Yeah!
Welcome to our new listener, Amanda. You're welcome.
We have a new listener, Amanda?
Yes.
Hi, Amanda! Who is she?
She is Dave from Playing Game with Strangers' sister-in-law.
Oh, okay. Hi, Amanda! Welcome. You know, also, oh my god, we're gonna have to cut this and fix it where I actually know her name. Who's the lady that works at Flight? Stephanie? So every time I go in now and I see her, I'm like, it's for the podcast. What do you think we're talking about? And I started with the best one, which is, hi, look at all these alcohol about
porn.
Kind of. It was the genital episode. I was like,
all of your beer was about porn.
Yeah. Yeah. But beer is expensive. So one of the things that is, aside from both of us not having a super lot of time because we work full-time jobs and I really, that's the main thing, is that I don't have the money to pay Squid to edit all these episodes if I do it once a week. And then also buy the beer. Because I buy beer that matches, for those of you who are new, I buy beer that matches the episode and what we talk about. So that way there's a theme and the alcohol goes to it. But themed beer is not cheap. So usually I spend like 20 to 30 bucks an episode on beer. So, I have been applying for ads and stuff. I'm not a super fan of ads, so honestly, I would not be sad if I never got any ads. But I have thought about opening a Patreon, so if people wanted to support, they could. As always, Cash App in the description, so that would be great. But outside of that, I have made some celebratory stickers for the 1 year anniversary. Yeah, so I've talked a few times about making drunk stickers. I drew things drunk and they just looked terrible. And then I tried to fix them and I just didn't have the patience for that. So we'll get to that eventually, I'm sure. But for now, instead, I have made drunk stickers instead of me drawing drunk stickers drunk. So I'm going to show them to Squid since you can't see them. And then I will have a link in the bio. I will have a link in the description so that you guys can purchase them.
Oh, but we didn't even talk about this one.
I know, we've only talked about one of the ones, and I just was like, you know what I want to do? I want to start with these well-known ones, and then go from there. Anyways, first sticker we got is of, go ahead.
Klimt's.
Yeah.
The kiss. I know this one.
Yeah, and so I've got it all zoomed up, and these are all rectangle stickers, and so they're, you know, kissing, but now she's got a wine glass in her hand.
Oh, I see it.
All of them have alcohol, because they're drunk art history.
I wish I had wine.
Look, we'll do a wine episode someday.
Then we only need one bottle.
Yeah. Here's the second one. This one we have talked about.
Look at her with her beer.
It's the Mona Lisa.
Yes.
And she's got a nice...
Hold on. We do not condone this message.
Oh yeah, she's pregnant. Don't drink and be pregnant.
We talked about this on the episode.
But she's either pregnant or, you know, sadly, has lost her child.
So. Or gave birth to it 10 years ago when they first started painting.
Yeah, so she might not be pregnant. That's the whole thing. We don't know. So she might be. It might be perfectly legal. Plus, I mean, I'm pretty sure beer back then was not as strong.
I'd like to submit, it's legal to drink while you're drunk. You just
shouldn't.
Look, you could get smashed by the law for child endangerment. Smashed. You could get smashed in many ways. But this is the one I'm a stick on everything I own, which is a lie because I only made 10 copies of each one because I didn't know if anyone would actually want any. So I just made enough that I could have one and I could give one to you and to my mom and to your mom and to put it on the sticker door where I get all the alcohol. But this is my favorite one.
I like this one. I hate it.
It's creation of man, or in this version, creation of the first alcoholic.
Drink.
That too.
Yeah. Or creation of the bartender,
He's
technically.
He's pouring out a cold one for the boy, capital B.
Yes. So we've got Adam pouring out a cold one for the big G himself. Which I love. That's my favorite.
I like that one. I want that one on everything.
Yeah, same. We'll use all 10 stickers ourselves. Also, this I don't know yet where it's going to be, where I'm going to post it for people to buy, but it very well might just be on my own Etsy, so don't judge my art. Or you can, if you like it, buy it. But don't judge me. Well, judge me later.
You just be like, I drew drunk.
I drew everything drunk. Don't tell people I go to conventions with.
Don't tell people I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. And so that's my exciting part. But now we'll get actually almost into everything because I would like Squid to talk about anything she would like to talk about and the fact that we've been doing this for a year.
Well, I'd say it's been a, first of all, I want to thank my mother.
Our number one fan.
I want to thank myself for showing up.
For being my only friend consistently around. If we're lucky and I can get her to cooperate and she doesn't blow out the microphone, my niece is going to be on an episode.
Good. I'm looking forward to editing that one.
Yeah, and then Squid's mom is going to be on an episode when the stars align.
Heck yeah. New year, new guests, new art, old art.
More booze.
New booze.
Less booze with my niece.
Yeah, none. We also don't
support. None booze with my niece.
We don't support drinking with children while carrying them or just near them.
Or physically holding them and carrying them.
Yeah, not safe. Yeah, it's been a great time. I've learned a lot.
Yeah. I have two. You have taught me a lot. Namely, I have zero consistency in editing.
I'm glad that I could help.
Yeah. Yeah. So now, we'll move along to the part y'all been waiting for. That good, good ASMR.
Ooh, baby.
Do you want to go first? Would you like to do the honor? The first
pour of the new year?
Yeah.
Heck yes, I would.
Good, because I have to finish off the one I am currently drinking that I just wanted to drink before this episode.
Chug.
No, I'm not chugging it. It has habanero in it.
Oh, is it good?
It's so good. It makes me... Oh, great. I don't know the name of it. Hold on. Okay, that's easy. I don't know why I'm like this. It's just... It reminds me of the chili-covered mango.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
which makes sense.
Yeah. It's Bistro Mango and Blood Orange Habanero Heat Wave from Energy City Brewing. It's very good. Unrelated to this episode entirely. But I wanted to drink it before it was gone from the tap house and before I flew across the country.
Also, don't drink and fly. Actually, I lied.
They serve alcohol on the plane, Catherine.
Calms the nerves. All right. I am drinking Airing of Grievances 2021. It is from Un Ani. What? I don't think I said that right, but Un Ani?
I heard one.
Un?
Yeah.
An Ani.
How do you spell it?
A-N-N-E with the little thing, and then an E.
1 year? Did I do that on accident? Because Ani. Un Ani. Yeah! Hey! I know French should pay attention to things.
Well, it's from 1 year brewing. It has a one on it.
Oh my god, why am I such a dumbass?
And it's called Airing of Grievances 2021.
Good, even better.
What? Serendipity.
Look, one of my
How dare you talk over my ASMR?
How dare you start your ASMR in the middle of me talking?
Ooh, I just, like, licked it after I spilled it on my hand like I do every single time I pour. Hey. And it smells and tastes so good.
At least it wasn't on your microphone and or your computer.
Yeah, that happens.
Ooh, she thick.
Mm-hmm. What kind of beer is it? You didn't say that.
It is a Belgian-inspired Imperial Stout. Oh, I thought you combined those numbers. It's 10.6, but I thought it was 16%. And I was like, I'm getting lit.
I have to pack a suitcase after this.
You're not drinking to one this big.
What are you drinking? I don't have long nails anymore. I'm drinking When Life Gives You Lemons, a sour ale with mango, calamansi, fluff,
calamari,
and honey. And it is by a beer company that wrote in cursive called Baba Brewhouse. Yeah, Baba Brewhouse. There was a bear next to it, which really threw me off. I do like their name, Baba Brewhouse. They're from Texas.
Have you any wool?
Well, Midas is joining us. He is also new this year.
This is why there's hair on that mic.
Yeah, Midas is giving us his ASMR. But anyways, based on our drinks today, we have Airing Your Grievances and When Life Gives You Lemons that I didn't open. I'm sorry. That's very good. Today, we are talking about Frida Kahlo, a.k.a. why I shaved my head during quarantine.
Who didn't?
Exactly.
Well, I didn't because of Frida Kahlo. I don't think I've ever done anything because of Frida Kahlo. Except avoid downtown Wheaton.
Why? Why did Frida Kahlo come into play there?
They had, like, the Frida Kahlo month. So, like, all the shop windows and everything were, like, covered in paintings, and there was, like, live music and all kinds of stuff.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, that kind of comes into play here. So, generally, what we're going to do, we're going to talk less about the art and more about her as a person. Go over some of the art, but just, like, we're going to do a rundown. Because Frida Kahlo now, I feel like, has become such a commercialized icon. Mm-hmm. Especially in the last, like, 5-10 years. It's wild. And, like, I get it. I can see why. But I feel like most people who see stuff for her or about her don't know that much about her. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to run through it all. Because she is, I mean, there's a reason why people talk about her and everything. And because she's great. But we'll start off by, what do you know about Frida Kahlo?
Was she a communist?
You know, I think so. Basically.
That's what I
tried
know.
Not to get too political in this, but she
I'm pretty sure the extent of my knowledge about Frida Kahlo, aside from, you know, drawing portraits and stuff, is that she was a communist.
She was actually a socialist. Okay. But she was a group she was in the Mexican Communist Party as a youth.
That begins and ends my knowledge of Frida Kahlo, aside from what she looked like.
That's fair. That is generally the most that people know. So we'll start right at the beginning. Frida was born Magdalena Carmen Frida Kahlo y Calderón on July 6, 1907. And I'm going to pronounce these horribly because I am mixed woman who doesn't speak Spanish, in Coyoacan, Mexico City, Mexico, which is also where she died, 47 years and 1 week later.
She was young.
She was. She had a lot going on in her life. That's part of the When Life Gives You Lemons. We're going to go through this because along with being a socialist and an artist and a feminist and a badass woman in general, Frida Kahlo was also someone who experienced lifelong chronic pain, disability, and went through so many things in her life that she kind of kicked ass and took names and lived a lot and fought a lot. So her father was a German immigrant to Mexico, and then her mother was a mixed race indigenous and Spanish woman, which you can see why I'm like, I love Frida. There's that kinship there in that sense, based on like who I am as a person. And so for me, it's like, that's why originally Frida, I was like, I feel you, girl. And then it went into other things too, because she's queer, and we'll go into that more in another episode because that's interesting to talk about. Like, it's not concrete, but she probably had an affair with Georgia O'Keeffe.
Mm. Or at that least, I did know too.
Yeah. Or at least she really liked Georgia O'Keeffe, and it might not have been reciprocated, but she liked her. And born in Mexico, Frida was a Mexican national, and her story of her personal journey, as I said, is full of illness and strength in a way that most people don't hear about. And she's known for her self-portraits because the one thing that she did paint was herself. I'm going to find the quote that she commented on her self-portraits and why she painted those almost exclusively, saying, "I paint myself because I am often alone and I am the subject I know best." Mm. It was also the way she worked through anything she went through. And when she was 6 years old, she contracted polio. And there was no vaccine at the time, so she survived it, except she had a growth deficiency in her left leg that caused her a permanent limp, which is part of why she chose those iconic skirts we know, because it would cover her legs and block that visual difference between them, because she didn't really like showing people. She was a bit insecure about that. Mm-hmm. So she wore those dresses for that. But even though she had, after she got sick at 6 years old, she had that growth deficiency and that limp, her father encouraged her to play in sports and be active and keep doing things, which at that time, sports weren't exactly a girl space, but right. She was there. Her father encouraged her a lot of the time to continue to do things when stuff came up in her life. Aside from the sports, like socialist viewpoints weren't exactly something for women at the time either, politics in general. But she ended up, as a teenager, she hung out with people with the same viewpoints, you know. Like, it's like the groups of little punk kids you see around.
I hate seeing the youths around.
I was one of those youths.
Just hanging around. Exactly. Being young.
Didn't you say you weren't an old person?
Yes, but I'm certainly not a young person.
Same. So, do you know who she was married to?
Your mom.
Shut up.
Why did I walk right into that? Why did it take a whole fucking year for you to make a your mom joke on this mom podcast?
I don't know.
I can't handle this. So while she was hanging out with these friends, she also ended up actually meeting her future husband, who was not my mother, but Diego Rivera, who is a full grown ass man at this time. And he was working on a mural for the school she was at, which was a preparatory school. And this was before she was old enough to be married, and she commented to a friend that she'd marry him someday.
Right.
And honestly, I do feel like we know girls like Frida, or we all did, but you didn't go to high school, so you wouldn't know that.
I didn't socialize with anyone.
But there was always in high school, at least public school, girls who were always...
Don't stand so close to me.
We have both been pre-gaming, if you could not tell.
I did not really have a 4% beer.
Alcohol. So Frida was the girl in that song.
Yeah. She would make comments beyond her years, do whatever the flip she wanted to do, and it's something that still goes on today.
No, she's dead now.
Yeah. Why are you like this? Oh my god.
Here's to another year!
And, okay. So, anyways, meets Diego, is like, cool, I'm gonna marry him, and then never sees him again, but doesn't see him again for a while. So, later on, she ends up riding the bus with this boy she likes from her social group that she's like, yeah, I'll ride the bus with you. It'll be great. I'm gonna flirt. And then the bus crashes with a tram. And she's critically injured. She has a beam going through her hips and pelvis.
Ouch.
Yeah. So there is a painting about this that she did called The Broken Column, which I'm going to enter in here because I did not realize I would bring it up, but I didn't put in my notes. So The Broken Column was based in, it was circa 1944, so sometime after she was a teenager. It's based on the surgery she had to have, the spinal surgery, to correct the ongoing problems that came from it. It shows her topless with a, like, Roman column coming through where her spine would be. Broken through, obviously broken column, representing both herself.
A Corinthian column.
Look at Squin, schooling us. You're obviously,
I really like Greek architecture.
Good. You're going to have to be on the episode about McMansions and why housing sucks. And why people used art to build houses to make it look fancy, but instead they just made a hodgepodge that would make Romans puke.
It's like those people that just put big lion sculptures outside their
Exactly. Exactly. We'll talk about that another day. But for today, the Corinthian column is in Frida Kahlo. None of these portraits are really ones you should look up while you're at work, like me, writing it when my boss is right behind me. But Frida, she's covered in, like, pins from the surgery, her brace that she had to wear. And just, like I said, she painted her life, how she felt, through portraits. She's crying through this immense pain, and it's something that went lifelong.
I relate to this picture.
Yeah.
I have a broken column.
Oof. And then, so she spent several weeks in the hospital, and when she was able to return home, she was wearing full body cast. And this is, again, where her dad kind of came through and encouraged her to start painting, along with her mother, who they bought a special easel so that she could lay down and paint. Nice. And bought her the supplies. 6 years later, after meeting Diego as well, she met him again. And this time, since she'd begun painting, she asked him to look at her paintings.
She was like, look at all these pictures of me naked.
Yes.
That girl knew what she was doing.
Let's see first, because I don't remember how old she was when she painted this one. Okay. She was... So she was born in 07, so she would have been 20 at 27. So this was painted way later in her adulthood. Based on the what she continued to go through. But she showed him some of her early work. And then a year later, you're right, because she knew what she was doing. The two were married, despite her mom being like, no, don't do it. Diego's a trash man. Even if he paints workers' rights, he's a trash man.
Who is Diego?
Diego Rivera is a Mexican painter who painted all of it. When you think of... in the U.S. specifically, the immigrant workers' paintings.
That's like out in the field?
Yeah, that's who you think of.
Ah, yes. There's one with like a little house in the background.
Probably. Oh, also, many, many flowers. Yeah, he did lots and lots of murals. But basically, that's who you think of. I'm just trying to find one. And I'll get into this later, too. It'll come up again. But there was a portrait he did, or not a portrait. There was a mural he did for a company, and it was of the workers. And then the guy who commissioned it got so mad that he painted over it. So
these are not the ones I'm thinking of.
Well, this is just one. Like, so this one is the flower seller, I think is what it's called. Which this is the flower. What's it called? Oh, my God. Is it a peace lily? That's in there because he painted a lot of those. There's this one, the flower carrier.
Yep. Nope. These are not the. This is not the guy I was thinking of.
Oh, okay. Who were you thinking of?
I don't know.
But so they get married, and Diego actually had a more commercial painting career. So they traveled for his job. Frida, most of her fame came after, specifically, you know, in her Renaissance right now as a commercial icon. But they traveled a lot. And so during their time in the U.S., which is sad in another trauma that Frida went through, she had two miscarriages during her time in the U.S. And she continued to paint, you know, paint her feelings through this. How do you think a supportive husband would take this?
Her painting her feelings?
And the miscarriage?
Oh, Boy, this is very sad for both of us. They're there.
Okay. How do you think Diego handled it?
I have a painting to sell. Bye.
Kind of, except it was more like, I have a dick to wet. Bye.
That's fair.
Yeah. He was a dick.
With paint. No, that was Jackson Pollock. Never mind.
But just to get into like the way that these two kind of contradicted each other a bit, his nickname was the elephant because he was 6'1" and large.
Hung like an elephant.
And her nickname was the mouse.
Diego was elephant?
Yeah. Ah. So Diego was the elephant and Frida was the mouse. She's 5'3" and slim. And he was 6'1" and beefy.
But you know, elephants are afraid of mice.
Yeah. And he should be. But he had many affairs, and she painted the piece that made me cut my hair, which was self-portrait with cropped hair, circa 1940.
I've seen this one. Yeah. I've seen also like a portrait of her dressed like this.
Yeah, yeah, because actually she ended up dressing like this after their divorce.
Yeah.
And like being like, this is my hot girl summer, which we'll go into. But first, go ahead and describe.
This is my take me seriously summer.
Exactly. And my fuck around and find out summer. So describe this for me. You don't have to read the Spanish because I have it in English.
That's good because I can't.
I can zoom in for you.
That won't help me. I'm not going to try. A young-ish. No, she looks not so young. Well, I guess she was never really old. Frida.
Nice. Bring it back.
Thanks. She's sitting on a nice yellow kitchen chair. She's wearing a blue suit. Nicely cuffed at the ankles, it seems. And a red button-up. And she has short hair. And all around her are strands of hair that have presumably been cut as she is holding a pair of scissors.
And a lock of hair.
She has the nicest self-haircut I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so above her is written, see if, in Spanish, which I'm not going to butcher. See, if I loved you, it was for your hair. Now you're bald, and I don't love you anymore. And part of this was because Diego loved her hair. Like, he loved that about her. So she was like, nope, I am separating myself from you. I am getting rid of the shit you liked about me because I don't need your validation. I'm my own man. And in fact, that suit she's wearing is way too big on her, which is supposed to be the fact that she's wearing one of his suits and taking on what, like, that role of, like, the man in the relationship as well, to be like, I am doing what I want, so I don't need you. And also, what?
Wild if that was his suit. He would have the smallest suit I've ever seen.
Well, look, it's like, so it's slumping off her shoulders and it's bunching around her arms. And like,
yeah,
you said,
but like, there is no way that is a 6'1" man suit.
She had to roll it up. And those are clearly her shoes because she has tiny ass feet.
You do have little feet.
Both in this painting and in real life.
Maybe. We don't know.
Yeah. We do. They talked about it. That's why she was the mouse.
We don't know that. She could have had clown feet. We don't know.
That's true. She did wear a lot of skirts on purpose.
Yeah.
And so she finds out, you know, that he's cheating, and she does this, and they separate, and she finds out that due actually to the bus accident, she will never be able to have children.
That I was going to say, like, taking a rod through the pelvis is probably not the best for childbearing.
Right. And if I remember correctly, she even writes, because she kept a diary, she writes about that and how it actually was, like, that beam or that pull that she took to the pelvis took her virginity.
Ouch.
Yeah. And so after having her miscarriage at it was actually at Henry Ford Hospital, she painted Henry Ford Hospital circa 1932. Okay, go ahead. Do you want to describe this one or I can?
Nope. I don't think there is any describing this one.
Okay, so basically this was painted when she was in the U.S. At Henry Ford Hospital. So what it depicts is she's in this field with a hospital bed. Behind her is an industrial town We have what looks like mills. We have a water tower. We have some silos. We have a couple of water towers and what looks like a water reclamation plant. Because this is the town she was in, I'm sure. And then Frida is laying in the bed, nude. Formerly or currently pregnant, because her stomach is round. She's crying a single tear. Her hair is down. There is blood underneath her. And from her side comes six different, like, veins that tie to six different items. The first being a diagram of the woman's pelvis and uterus, a boy fetus, which really, you know, if they were born, they would be in the NICU, which represents her unborn son, a snail, which represents the slowness of the operation she had to face, a pelvis, her pelvis, representing, you know, the fact it got real hurt, a plucked flower, which is her fertility, and then I think that's
a vice grip? I don't know what
it's a machine of some sort, and I can't think of what it is. But she says she puts her son's name, I believe, what it would be, the year, and then where he would have been born and passed, which is Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit. So her pieces really just show what's happening at that time, how she feels, and what's going on. I do appreciate that Frida's work is very easy to read. Because it's meant for her, and it is meant for her to work through things.
Mm-hmm.
And just experience and process.
But that one kind of looks like if Frida and Dolly were hanging out.
You know they did. We're about to get into that hot girl summer.
Oh, no. Like, I see some influences. If everything was just a little more floppy.
Yeah.
It'd be some strong Dolly imagery.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, apparently it's not known whether or not they ever met.
Oh, no.
Chances are they probably did, because she hung out with a lot of people. She hung out with Picasso. She hung out with Modrin. She hung out with Chagall. She was in Paris. And that was further into the future. But she had a good time figuring her life out and socializing and wearing suits and traveling the worlds and... Eventually, she started to take commissions. And so we're going to go over one of her commissions she took. Someone commissions Frida to paint their friend after their friend commits suicide. Knowing what we know of how Frida handles her work, how do you think that went?
Not well.
Yeah. Not at all. So we saw how she depicted her own pain. So we're going to talk about how she depicted someone else's pain. So the friend who passed's name was Dorothy Hale. So the painting is called The Suicide of Dorothy Hale, circa 1938. This is it.
Did she jump?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty easy to tell.
Yeah. So Frida paints. Do you want to describe this one?
Yeah. So we see... that's a frame around the outside. It was like a box, but it looks like a large skyscraper. What upon seeing, I think is a hotel. I don't know for sure, but it looks like a hotel. And then there's like a bunch of clouds because it's really high up in the air. And then you see a very wispy lady in the background, upside down, falling from the building. And then you see her at the bottom. Dead. Presumably from when she hit the ground. Maybe missing an arm. I'm not sure.
Maybe I think it's just behind her. Yeah.
And there's some words at the bottom that I can't read.
At the bottom it says in blood red, in New York City on the 21st of October, 1938, at 6 in the morning, Dorothy Hale committed suicide by throwing herself from a very high window in the Hampshire House. In her memory, this retablo was executed by Frida Kahlo. And there used to be a part that, the commissioner was
painting of it.
The commissioner was Claire Booth Lucy or Lukey, who was a close friend of Dorothy's and an admirer of Frida's. And she got this, opened it, and almost destroyed it.
I imagine.
Her friends kept it and were like, made her keep it and were like, you do not. But she did have it. She did have it adjusted by a sculptor who painted out part of the part that has Lucy's name, or like Claire Booth Lucy's name, which says painted at the request of Claire Booth Lucy for the mother of Dorothy. And then she had another change made, which added an angel to the top. This is the original that we're looking at, but she made some adjustments so she wouldn't be very, very sad. And then it was in storage for decades after, because she gave it to a friend. And then after that friend passed, it was in storage for forever. And then donated, but... It's not exactly what you expect to get, but it is what you would expect to get from Frida if you asked her to paint a tragic event.
If you're like, hey, my friend killed herself. Can you paint something? And Frida's like, boy, can I?
Yep. This is what happened. Here it is. This is what she looks like. And this is why we did it. And like I said, I feel like she probably handled it pretty well because she's seen Diego have his work destroyed by commissioner. So he was like, she's probably like, well, I mean, you commissioned me. This is what I do.
I mean, Frida also strikes me as the kind of person that was like, it was the process that was more important than anyway.
Right. Exactly.
What happens afterwards? I don't care. It's done.
Yeah. And not too long after she paints this and does some commercial work and stuff, that she and Diego legally divorce rather than just kind of split. And that's when she goes to Paris. She ends up marrying Diego again, but this time she starts cheating as well.
Good. They're healthy.
They're on the same page on their infidelities this time around. Her works start being shown in galleries and started having shows. She was even commissioned at that point by the Mexican government to create portraits of prominent Mexican women. But in the end, she was unable to finish those. Her father passes away around this time, and her chronic illness and pains becomes more consuming of her energy. But I honestly think, and this is speculation, that she just didn't want to paint the Mexican portraits.
That's fair.
Because
she was like, I don't want to. Guess I'll die.
No, she was like, I didn't want to. Guess I'll paint for myself instead.
Okay.
Because she kept painting for herself. And I think the reason she probably didn't do it is because prior to that, she wasn't a fan of the government. And then she wasn't a fan of the government when they commissioned her.
And then she continued to not be a fan of the government.
Exactly. So I can imagine her being like, okay, cool, I'll get paid. And then being like, I don't fucking want to do this. Sorry, I can't. Bye. Because she continued painting and continued doing stuff to the point that she ended up bedridden again because her chronic pain was so bad, she stayed in bed, which then caused her to get gangrene, which then caused her to get multiple surgeries to get rid of the gangrene. She was there 9 months, and she was still painting during this time. And then she had a gallery show in Mexico that she still went to.
Oh.
Yeah. So how do you think she got there?
Did someone carry her?
The ambulance.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she got the ambulance to take her, and then she greeted people from her gallery show in a bed in the gallery, and then later returned to the hospital afterwards at some point to end up having surgery to do a partial amputation to stop the gangrene.
Metal.
Yeah, which was not on the leg that had growth issues due to polio. So now,
I know someone that has polio. Or had polio.
Yeah.
Not a currently active case.
But anyways, continuing on with Frida. Her work started to show more pain, you know, obviously, because she's
It showed more pain.
Yeah, because she's going through even more. And one of the things that people speculated is that she passed away due to depression. That it was a suicide.
Mm.
It's not confirmed in any way at all. It's reported as a pulmonary embolism. But it also would not surprise me. And we're going to go over a little bit of it. So her last time she was out in public was for a protest against the U.S. government's interference in Guatemala. And she went out and participated in this protest. And then just over a week later, she passes away. And because of the depression, and her journals have been kept private for the most part, there's, like I said, that speculation that it was suicide. And the fact that her paintings started getting darker and darker, more depictions of her physically broken, destroyed, or torn up, rather than her experiences, kind of goes that way. And then her very last painting, though, was like the opposite. Like, again, speculation, but it's called Viva la Vida, or Long Live Life, is her last painting before she died.
That's a lot of watermelons.
Yeah. And there's the broken watermelon, which is supposed to represent her. But
which one? This that one looks like.
Like, it looks like.
Nicely cut up.
Cut up and open. But this is what makes me think of, like, kind of lends me towards maybe it was suicide and just, and not even just like, maybe even not even depression, but how, what now people, some people would look for like assisted suicide. She was just ready to kind of go. Is that her last writing in the diary is, I hope the exit is joyful and I hope never to return. And
yeah.
This painting, the fact that it's like a tribute to life, it's painted in a style that you would typically see of memento moris, which is to remember that death is ever present in life. Except the fact there is nothing present of death in this. There is only presence of life.
I mean, technically all those fruit are now dead.
Yeah. I mean that, but that's...
Theoretically speaking.
Theoretically, but typically you'd see leaves that are like dying or fruit that is starting to rot. I mean, it reminds
me more of like a still life.
Yeah. But we see like a lot of still lifes were actually done to be memento moris with things about to fall off tables, that sort of stuff. So that's what came to mind for me. But it's meant to be, you know, sweet and fruitful and
literally.
Yeah, exactly. So and this one was painted 8 days before she died. So around the same time she was going to that protest. And for this, I'm not going to bring up anything I found online that was kind of like people commenting of like, oh, this is definitely a suicide, that sort of thing, because the sources weren't super great. And I also don't want to discount the fact, you know, that maybe she wasn't depressed. Like, she was likely depressed, but not in the sense that like maybe she did not commit suicide, because people can be powerful and strong and expressive and I'm trying to think of the right word. Confident and out there and still be suffering from depression. And I just think that, like, I don't know, it was one more hurdle for her and one more thing that kind of tacked on in her life that she very well likely fought against a lot of the time and painted about and worked through. That's Frida.
There she is. Mm-hmm. In all her fruity glory.
Yes, and that will also be another episode, like I said, the fruity glory.
Oh, that's the next one. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's really a reason that she's become such a commercial icon. And it's just one of those things where it's very easy to take a powerful person and be like, that's an example in some ways and want to emulate that and see it. Even though I think commercialism does not get that close to that sort of thing.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
So, how do you feel after all of that? What are you thinking?
This is a good beer.
Good, good. Yeah, mine is really good too. I wish I finished beers on this podcast if I ever shut the flip up.
To 1 year.
Cheers. Try to make it like it cheered.
Wait. That made a really good sound, though.
But thank you guys for taking a year and drinking with us and talking about art and hanging out. And I'm sorry, Ohio. And
I'm not.
We don't have any more Ohio listeners. They're all gone.
Good.
No.
I scared them away, finally.
You did.
But serves them right. Maybe they just moved.
That's true.
Maybe they did the right thing and they left Ohio.
That's true. So, but thank you guys for joining us. We're going to keep at it. You'll be hearing more. Bi-weekly is the way to go for now until I start making some money. Mostly so I can buy more beer and pay Squid. And then I don't know if we'll have time in full-time jobs, but that would be nice.
To do what?
To do more podcasting.
Oh.
And have the time to. Because we've been recording every Wednesday for the most part, but just building a backlog because money and time of days. But we'll wrap it up here. And before we go, Squid, is there anything else you want to talk about?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys.
Bye.
Not yet. I got to promote.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't all about you. Squid will this year come out with a podcast, so keep an ear out for that. We did talk about it and promote it in one of our last episodes, but then we had to cut it out because it's not ready yet.
Yeah,
I lost my book that I'm reading, so I have to go find it again. I don't know where it's at. As I said in the beginning, there will be a link in the description as to where I'm going to put these stickers. They will be figured out by then. And you guys can take a look, see if you'd like some stickers for Pint-Sized Art History, and have some fun. And if you really don't like Pint-Sized Art History, but you think the stickers are cool, you can cut off the name off the bottom, I guess.
Yeah, and if you pay us extra, I'll cut it off for you.
That's true. Just put a little tip in there. Or just cash app us and say, Squid, do the heavy labor and cut this off. But if I also make a Patreon, you guys will know, and then that would be nice if you throw a buck or two, and I was like, maybe I could even do like a sticker of the month for Pint-Sized Art History, and that would be fun. A fun way to support the podcast, and you just get...
I support you in this.
Huh?
I said, I support you in this.
Yeah, I have a friend who draws a sticker every month.
Yes, but do you draw a sticker every month?
I'm trying my best.
I know.
I'm
just providing options, you know.
Yeah, options are good. But if I do, you guys will be the first to know. That's a lie. You'll be the last to know, but you're the important ones to know. And then you know where to find me, and if you don't, you can follow me on Twitter and tweet at me at PintSizePod, and we can talk about art, and I can have some interaction on there and make new friends. And then...
Please.
Yeah, I only have one, and her name is Squid, and she's on every episode. And the other one's my niece. And then...
The other one's my mother.
Both are going to be on this podcast this year. And then you can email me at pintsizedarthistory@gmail.com. Find me on Buzzsprout. You can find me really anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can ask Amazon Echo to play this podcast, which some of you have done, which is pretty cool. I'm not going to tell my niece to play it on her Alexa because there's a lot of swearing and it'll play the most recent episode, which is the last one that talks about genitals.
No, because Christmas Eve will be up by the time.
Not before I record with her.
That's fair.
So the last one that'll be on when I start recording with her, when she goes home to her tiny child bedroom to talk to Alexa and call me on it, cannot be played for children. So, but you guys can, because obviously most of you are adults, I hope. If not, please, take your education seriously.
Please stop. Don't do drugs. To this podcast.
I will not help you get an A on any test, but I will help you talk shit. and that's it. Thanks again for listening, Sherry.
And thanks for leaving Ohio.
No! Bye! Bye. Where the fuck are my files?